Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Another flip-flop on fracking. Try saying that five times fast. A flip-flop on fracking from Kamala Harris's campaign team as they say, no, we're not going to expand fracking. Our policy is going to be just the way it is right now. I told you they will destroy the industry if she gets elected. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. The blue wall is cracking. Yes, the blue wall, which, you know, first of all, I don't even know why we're talking about a blue wall. It wasn't a blue wall in 2016. Trump won all those states. And then Biden allegedly won some of those states, and Trump's on course to win them back. So I don't really think it's a blue wall. I think it's these are toss-up battleground states where energy and the economy are the forefront issues. And a huge blunder by Kamala Harris's, a blunder, I don't know if that's the right word for it, just saying the quiet part out loud. They don't like fracking. They're not going to expand fracking. They're not going to see the industry grow. And that's everything I've been telling you, everything we've been saying on the show. So that was a big deal in this Politico interview done by Harris's campaign environmental whack job. I don't know exactly the job title. Environmental nut, probably. Environmental kook, maybe. Not sure. But the one thing I do know, though, is that it's reverberating around Pennsylvania today, as it should, by the way, as it should. And now they're very worried about Michigan, and they're very worried about Minnesota. And they see North Carolina slipping away. Yes. North Carolina, where they have a Democrat governor, a state that they thought they could win, they're now saying that they fear that North Carolina is slipping away as well. It's not looking good for them. And I'm not surprised because, well, first of all, go back in time a year ago when we talked about Joe Biden getting out of the race, and I was making the prediction that he would. I said the problem for them is Kamala Harris. She's a terrible candidate. And she is. And I love that Trump came out today and said she's lazy. She has no events scheduled today. J.D. Vance is going to do a town hall in Pennsylvania, I believe at 3:30-ish. She might dip in a little bit and take a listen to that, or 4:30, something like that. Trump's doing two events today. He's got a Latino business roundtable, and then he's got a rally tonight. Kamala Harris is doing, there's no events. The election day's in 2 weeks from today is election day. How do you not do events? I mean, unless you have a 10-point lead, and she doesn't. But even then, I told you, there's two ways to run, scared or unopposed. The fact that she's not doing any events today, it absolutely shows she's lazy. Or maybe they've just given up. I don't know. Maybe they just figured, but the hell with it, we're just going to lose anyway. So might as well, it's a beautiful day. Might as well enjoy the sunshine. I can't really figure it out. But the down ballot implications of this for the Democrats, and that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, come to his Cinnaminson office on Saturday, November 9th for the annual Veterans Breakfast and Free Shredding event. Honor all those who served our country. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and pizza, and bring your documents that need shredding. The big issue, without question, is now that people in Washington are saying this could be not only an electoral college landslide, and I hate to use the L word, but down ballot wise, it could be several seats they pick up in the Senate, including right here in Pennsylvania with Dave McCormick. And the House could stay Republican as well. I mean, potentially, you could see Republicans controlling all three branches of government. Now, look, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I never like making these kind of predictions. I just don't. But I'm telling you what people are saying right now. And the reason why they're saying that is because it suddenly seems as if everything that the facade of Kamala Harris is just crumbling around them, and they just don't have time to rebuild it. They thought getting into this race late would give them an advantage. They did the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. There's a big sugar high and sugar bump, and everybody's feeling good, and they avoid major interviews, and they figure they just ride this out on the idea that, well, people hate Trump, and they think he's going to destroy democracy. So if as long as it's not a demented old man, anybody beats Trump. And this has been their thinking from day one. Their thinking from day one is that anybody beats Donald Trump. You know, their entire strategy going all the way back to when he left office was indict him, go after him legally, prop him up to become the Republican nominee. And they could have left the guy alone. You know, they could have left the guy alone. And by the way, he's going on Joe Rogan's podcast. I believe he's going to do it on Friday. I don't know if they'll do it live on Friday or record it on Friday, but I'm pretty sure it's happening on Friday. So anyway, the thinking from the get-go was just get Trump the nomination. If we can nominate Trump, anybody beats him, Biden will beat him again. That's just the way it's going to be. And I kept saying for years, that's a really bad strategy, because if the economy's not good, Trump's going to win. You guys are making a huge mistake. And they were like, no. Trump is, no matter what, Trump will be beaten. And then they thought, let's spend trillions of dollars and it doesn't matter. And so instead of just leaving the guy alone and letting him just stay at Mar-a-Lago and letting other Republicans get the spotlight, they kept putting the spotlight on him by going after him in Georgia, New York, two federal cases. They raided Mar-a-Lago. I mean, they created a rally around Trump effect among Republican primary voters. And yeah, it worked. He got the nomination. And then they thought, well, Biden can beat him. And then it turns out Biden's losing his friggin' mind. He's demented. He's corrupt. All the corruption stuff comes out. They say, all right, no problem. As long as we swap out Biden, we can win. Doesn't matter who. Anybody beats Trump. I remember I heard something that was said on the I forget what show it was, but it was a couple months ago, maybe a year ago, something. And it was a funny line. It was that Trump and Biden need each other like Batman and the Joker, you know, because anybody else beats Biden and any other Democrat beats Trump. And I said, I don't agree with that. I think that's no. I said, I completely disagree with that. But not only that, I'll go a step further. I think that Kamala Harris is a worse candidate than Joe Biden. I actually think if Biden was in the race, he probably would be doing better right now than Kamala Harris is. Because even though, remember, that debate in June was a setup to get him out of the race. So if they really had intended to keep him in, they wouldn't have done that debate. Remember what I said 3 days before the debate took place on Fox News with Mike Emanuel, when I said this debate is a setup to swap him out. And it was. But if they were really intent on keeping him, they just would have hid him, medicated him, and hope for the best, and he probably would be doing better. I still think Trump beats Joe Biden, but Harris is, it's always been for them the Kamala Harris problem. She's not a good candidate. And look, you could say, I'm just saying that because I'm a conservative talk show host, but I mean, ask Democrats who didn't vote for her, which is all of them. Ask Democrats who didn't vote for her in the 2020 primary, which is all of them. So, you know, I mean, it's not that complicated to see you. There's a bad candidate, but then there's something else, too, which is their attack lines on Donald Trump have all been 2016 recycled. The same nonsense we heard back then. He's a threat to democracy. He's going to start World War III. He's Hitler. He's Mussolini. He's this, he's that. And it didn't work then, and it's not working now. People just don't believe it. They don't, just don't believe it. And they remember the guy being president. They don't remember World War III starting, or any war starting for that matter. And they also don't remember him putting people in camps and executing his enemies on the street. I mean, the left does this thing with their hyperbole. And I don't think it's hyper. I don't think they're intending to be hyperbolic. I think they actually genuinely believe this craziness, where they go so over the top in their hysteria about Trump. You turn around and go, but that's insane. How does anybody who's a rational thinking human being believe any of that crap? And it's one thing to try it in 2016 when the guy had yet to be elected, and you try to scare people and go, well, you know, if he wins, it's going to be the end of humanity. But then they're doing it again, and people are like, but he was president and none of that stuff happened the first time. So why am I supposed to believe it's going to happen the second time? Oh, and also when he was president the first time, I was better off. The country was better off. The world was better off. So their attack lines on him, the same recycled garbage they used in 2016, not working. There's no pandemic now. And their attempts to try to manipulate mail-in voting, well, this time around, the RNC and the Trump campaign are prepared for it. They were unprepared in 2020. Everybody was unprepared. I'm not knocking anybody for it. I'm just saying it came as a surprise to everybody. This time around, they're ready for it. So they got some real problems here. And then the other problem, of course, was picking that Midwestern doofus, Tim Walz, who's a guy that, honestly, if he was playing the mall Santa, I wouldn't let my kids sit on his lap. I wouldn't. He's just that creepy. And he comes across creepy. And I don't know what they were thinking here. Midwestern dad vibe? No. Creepy. Keep that guy away from the kids vibe is what he is. And he brings nothing. I mean, nothing to the table in terms of geography. Minnesota? You're going to win Minnesota. Or Wisconsin, I mean. You're going to win Wisconsin. Who the hell cares? So this is just turning out to be a disaster for them. And then the other thing is that Trump's running a really good campaign. He really is. I mean, he's running a very message-disciplined campaign, right? Which I know if you despise Trump, you're like, how is that possible? And he just called her lazy and brought up Pocahontas. Because people either hate Trump for that, love Trump for that, and then in the middle, there's people that are like, ah, whatever, and they roll their eyes about it, and it doesn't move the needle for them. And that's most people. Most people who, there's like, some people love it, some people hate it to the point where they want to set their friends' MAGA hats on fire. And then there's other people who are like, I wish he wouldn't say it, but I don't really care because I just know that America's better with him, and that's just the end of it. But if you hate the guy so much, you can't grasp that point. It's something you can't comprehend. Like, how does nobody see this? How does nobody else understand this? It's because you're blinded by rage. You're blinded by passion. Never hate your enemies. It clouds your judgment. All right? Michael Corleone, Godfather. Everything in life I learned from Godfather. But it's true. Never hate your enemies. It clouds your judgment. This was Sonny's problem. Well, that and not having Easy Pass. But that was Sonny's problem. Two main problems, obviously. You know, his temper and not having Easy Pass. But otherwise, you know, that was the issue. And Michael was smart to understand that, you know. But you see, the left, they can't. They can't. All they see is red. And it's not just the MAGA red. It's just red of hatred and rage and insanity. And the other problem is that they are deeply committed to all the progressive kookery that you think they are. It's not a mirage. It's not a joke. It's not something that we've made up about them. They really are this deeply committed to all their progressive kookery. This is not the Democrat Party that it used to be. This is not 1992 and Bill Clinton anymore. This is not the, you know, Governor Casey of Pennsylvania. This is a different Democrat Party now. And so as a consequence of that, they have to cater to the crazy. And so this is why they made a huge mistake going in and talking about fracking again and saying the quiet part out loud about fracking, which is that, yeah, fracking is going to be absolutely in danger in Pennsylvania and around the country if Kamala Harris gets in there. This campaign aide, I'm going to share this story with you. This is an amazing, amazing thing. And the headline of one story, Kamala Harris is against fracking again. A top climate Harris campaign aide appears to be walking back Vice President Kamala Harris's unconditional support of fracking, a position she opposed in 2019 when she vowed to ban it. The flip floor underscores claims made by critics that Harris is an empty political shell with intentions to do or say whatever is needed to get elected. True, but true with an asterisk. And here's what I mean by this. There were people who were hoping that Kamala Harris was literally just going to be that. Just an empty political vessel, say whatever she has to say to get elected, and then somehow she'll govern as a moderate. Like all the kooky stuff she said in 2019, brush it aside. She didn't mean it. Just said those things to get the nomination back then because the party was on a pogo stick of crazy, to quote Van Jones. She didn't mean it. Now she'll say whatever she has to say to get elected now, and then she'll govern somewhere in the middle. That's the hope for people that hate Trump and realize that a progressive kook is not the answer for America. I have a friend like this. I have a friend like this. She's a mom, a suburban mom. There are certain issues that are important to her. She just really doesn't like Trump, but she does not want a progressive kook in the White House either. So she was hoping Kamala Harris was going to be this kind of empty vessel you could just fill with ideas and everything would be fine. It was like, she didn't mean that stuff she said in 2019. No, she did. And the asterisk is that everyone around her in Democrat politics today firmly believes in all this progressive kookery. All the socialism, all the Marxism, they believe this stuff. They do. The open borders, ending America's dependence on fossil fuels, all that nonsense. They believe this stuff to their core. Indoctrinating your children to believe that boys can be girls and girls can be boys and that drag queen story hour should be something promoted in pre-K. Yeah, they believe this stuff passionately. And if they get in, they're going to push this stuff. But they also believe passionately in censoring you, in regulating social media to stop misinformation and disinformation. They believe in a strong central government with lots of authoritarian powers to go after big corporations, to go after the climate change, the bad guys, and to go after anyone who spreads anything that they don't like, whether it's hate speech or misinformation or disinformation. They believe in this stuff in their core. They do. And so this is not a simple, you can just write this off by going, well, Kamala Harris is an empty political vessel. No, she's not. She's a true believer. She'll go wherever the wind goes, but that's the thing. Somebody once made a great comment. They said, you are the embodiment of the five people that you are, who are around you the most. I don't know if that's true or not, but let's just pretend it is for a second. The five people around you the most, you're kind of like that. You're the embodiment of the five people closest to you. Let's pretend that that's true for a second. And maybe it is. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I guarantee you the five people around Kamala Harris the most are all going to be progressive kooks. So even if she is this empty political vessel, she's going to be surrounded by political kooks who will bring out the kookery. And she'll do, and because she's going to want a second term, and she's going to want to make sure that she's a Democrat nominee, just like Joe Biden did on day one, any pretense of being a so-called moderate goes right out the window. Why do you think Biden got in there on his first day in office, kills the Keystone XL pipeline, undoes all of Trump's work on the border? Why? Because that's the Democrat Party. And the first thing that a first-term president thinks is, how do I get a second term? And the first thing they think is, well, I got to do all the crazy stuff right off the bat so that I can lock down my base and not worry about a primary challenge. So that if I have to moderate in 4 years, I can moderate in 4 years. So on day one, she's going to get in there and do all the crazy crap just like Biden did. And this revelation by this person, just to be clear, Vice President Harris hasn't said anything that the administration hasn't already said. She is not promoting expansion of fracking. She's just said that they wouldn't ban fracking, and the fact that anyone could look. And the fact is that anyone could look up the IRA required leases, and that was not something that she promoted. So as even Andrew Kaczynski from the K-File reports on CNN, Harris' campaign aide seems to be walking back her support for fracking on the campaign trail. A top climate campaign staffer told Politico Pro that she's not promoting expanding it and said she didn't promote increased leases for fracking in the Inflation Reduction Act. But Harris has repeatedly cited the Inflation Reduction Act leases in campaign events to shore up her bona fides on fracking. So this is the thing. This aide said the quiet part out loud. And why are they doing that? My guess is, and I don't know this, but my guess is they still have not locked down crazy. Look, I told you this about Biden. It was the same problem for him. If you haven't locked down crazy, can't moderate. How do you moderate if you haven't locked down your crazy base? So clearly, they still have a problem. They still have a problem on the left. And if they can't get the base out, and they're already hemorrhaging support from Latino voters and black voters, and they are doing horribly with men, how? And then if you don't get the Democrat base out, and you've got several problems there, Democrats who are angry about the administration's policy towards Israel, and Democrats who feel like Kamala Harris is a sellout on fracking. And she's not. She's going to do exactly what they want on fracking. She'll do everything on all of it. She will. But they have to reiterate this, hoping that they do so in some nerdy political pro article and hope that somehow it doesn't reach me, a talk show host in Philadelphia, or Selena Zito, or Dom, or Nick, or Dawn, or anybody, or anybody else. Like, wait, we're not going to see this, hear this, find this out. Really bad messaging on the part of the Harris campaign. But it's just who they are. Listen, scorpions sting, all right? You got to understand that in life. People rarely change. People rarely change. People are who they are. And there's an old saying in life, and I love this saying, and I think about this often. When somebody shows you who they are, listen, okay? Somebody shows you who they are, listen. Pay attention to that so you don't get burned. And I think it's an important lesson in life. And if you're somebody who's on the fence about this and thinks to yourself, well, look, I don't like Trump or his mean tweets or whatever it is, and I hope that Harris will be some sort of a empty vessel who will actually be a moderate. No, no, no. Scorpions sting, man. When people show you who they are, listen. Otherwise, you get stung. Okay? It's a little advice from me to you. 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. On X at Rich Zeoli. Big show coming up for you today. Your thoughts on this major flip-flop on not even a flip-flop, just saying the truth about fracking. We've known this all along. I'm not even going to call it a flip-flop. To call it a flip-flop is incorrect. It's just what we've known all along. She wants to ban fracking. Bottom line, she does. All right? We're coming right back. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Stuff for you today. We're loaded up. I don't know. I got on the air today at 3 and I wasn't feeling it. I had like 2:59, but now I'm feeling it. That's what happens. I'm telling you, the minute that light goes on and the mic opens up, I don't know what happens. It's like Thor with the lightning hitting the hammer or something. But I just come alive no matter what. If I'm having a bad day, low energy day, whatever it is, that on air light comes on and I'm supercharged. It's like Superman in the sun. That's what it's like. So let's understand now there's a clarification from Kamala Harris's climate aide. And I'm going to summarize it for you by what I just tweeted. OK, which is the following. And just so you know what I just said on Twitter. And I think this is a good way to understand Kamala Harris's position on the all important issue of fracking. This is what I said. So she was against fracking before she was for it. And then against it again, and then for it again, but then against it again, and now for it again. Wink. Or something. Because here's Camilla Thorndike explaining her position. She lists herself as the climate engagement director of Kamala Harris, and her background picture on X is of appears to be, I think, moss growing on the side of a mountain rock. I'm not quite sure exactly. It could be a person with green hair. I'm not quite sure, but it's some sort of, I think it's a nature thing. Anyway, she's the climate engagement director. She's an alumni of Senator Sanders. She's the founder of Our Climate US, where we empower youth to advocate for science-based, equitable, intersectional climate justice policies that build the thriving world. I don't know what any of that means. I have no idea. We empower youth to advocate for science-based, equitable, intersectional climate justice policies that build a thriving world. Is that? Whatever the hell that is. And she's here for climate plus multiracial democracy. Okay, multiracial, which is good to know in the year 2024, because God knows we're all rooting for one day this country to be multiracial. Am I right? I mean, I, for one, am hoping America will one day be a multiracial country. A man can dream. A man can dream. So she said here, let's see here now. I didn't explain myself clearly here. And by the way, you know, I'm going on 10 years. As an afternoon drive host. Well, I did mornings for a little stint there in mornings as well. But I just want to say, we have new people joining the show every day. And I love that. I really do. I think after 10 years together now, you get my sarcasm. We used to joke back in the day that, like, for example, when Dawn joined the show back in the afternoons, that we needed a sarcasm alert button. And every now and then, somebody starts listening to the show. And we have people listening on the free Odyssey app across the country now. It's wonderful. It's great. Love it. Every now and then, somebody doesn't get my sarcasm. So, if you're new to the show, here's the best way for you to gauge whether or not I'm being sarcastic. All right? If I say something like I just said, like I really hope America can one day be a multiracial country, before you send me a tweet or an email explaining how we are, right? Think to yourself, do you think Rich knows that? And maybe he might just be being sarcastic to show how stupid the left's tweet is, statement is, whatever it is. That's the best way you can know what sarcasm is. And again, this is just my guide to be helpful because I appreciate you being here. But it's not always easy to get my humor. I get it. And for some people who've been listening to me since day one, it took them like 9 years. So they're finally like, all right, I get it now. I get you. I understand. And once you do, you get me forever. I'm not going anywhere. And you also understand there's just one version of me. There's no Fugazi Rich. This is all you get. I just have, you know. But if you ever doubt something like that, just know sarcasm is my default. That's it. I remember many years ago on the radio, somebody once said to me, you got to be careful. Sarcasm doesn't always work. And I said, I don't believe that. Smartest audience in radio, funniest audience in radio, and the most loyal audience in radio. I think they'll get the joke. So we do a lot of that. I'm just saying, because the show's growing every day. So that's like a sarcasm primer right there. Okay, good. So Camilla Thorndike said the following. I didn't explain myself clearly here. Contrary to Trump's claims, the VP has not banned fracking, doesn't support banning fracking, and in fact cast the tie-breaking vote on the biggest pro-climate law ever, which, yes, opened new fracking leases. People know that's her position. Okay? That's her clarifying. Let me tell you what she originally said to Politico. Just to be clear, because here was the question that was originally asked of her by the Politico reporter. All right. Here's the question. Quote, Harris's publicly moved to the middle on certain energy issues, such as reversing her fracking ban pledge from the 2019-2020 primary campaign and touting record oil and gas production in the Biden-Harris administration, along with measures in the Inflation Reduction Act to require more fossil fuel lease sales. How are you reassuring young voters that Harris will look to push policies commensurate with global climate goals when she's been promoting fossil fuels these last few months? Okay? So that's the original question. Translation, can you please let the young people know that you're completely full of crap when she says that she's not going to ban fracking? So can you reassure them that she's full of it and she really is going to ban fracking? That's the translation of that very wordy question from Politico. And here's the original answer she gives. Just to be clear, Vice President Harris hasn't said anything that the administration hasn't already said. She is not promoting expansion. She just said they wouldn't ban fracking, and the fact that anyone could look up is that the Inflation Reduction Act required leases, and that was not something she promoted. So let's understand what that translation. Translation is, yes, the Inflation Reduction Act had new leases for fracking, but that was not something she promoted, and it was in the bill, and she just had to go along with it. Okay? Her answer continues. And so voters who care about climate change understand that she, Kamala Harris, is someone that not only movements can work with, but she has championed their causes, and that we know who she is. Her record is so clear. And that more and more voters are getting the opportunity to meet her in these final weeks of the campaign, which has been really a wild sprint. Translation, again, you know who she is. Wink, wink. Everything else she's saying about climate change is bull blank. It's like that scene in My Cousin Vinny. He stands up and goes, you're right. Everything that guy just said is bull blank. That's the translation from Kamala's environmental intersectional climate justice kook. All right. Now, everybody calls her out on what this is. This is a flip flop. Okay. This is a flip flop. Oh, wow, it was a big story of breaking about Nathan Wade, too. He has all the contacts with the, just like Trump said, with the Biden White House while they were in prosecuting Donald Trump in Georgia. He's saying he doesn't recall any of the context, but they're all there because the transcripts are all being released today. I'm going to get to that as well. So Andy Kaczynski from the K-File at CNN puts out a tweet and says her Harris campaign seems to be walking back her support for fracking on the campaign trail. A top climate campaign staffer told Politico Pro she's not promoting expanding it, and she didn't promote increased leases for fracking in the Inflation Reduction Act. But Harris has repeatedly cited those leases in campaign events to shore up her bona fides on fracking. And then this is when her campaign intersectional climate kook tweets out, I didn't explain myself clearly here. Contrary to Trump's claims, the VP has not banned fracking, doesn't support banning fracking, and in fact cast a tie-breaking vote on the biggest pro-climate law ever, which, yes, opened new fracking leases. People know that's her position. However, she said to Political Pro, quote, she's just said that they wouldn't ban fracking, and the fact that anyone could look up is that the Inflation Reduction Act required leases. That was not something she promoted. So they're trying to have it both ways. They want her to be able to go on the campaign trail in places like Pennsylvania and say, hey, actually, I cast a tie-breaking vote for the Inflation Reduction Act, which opened up new fracking leases. And then the climate intersectional justice warrior wants to go back to the climate kook kids and say, no, she did not. The fracking leases were in the bill. She had no choice, but you know who she is. Wink, wink. Just go along with this BS until Election Day. And you're going to get somebody who's going to go in there and is not going to be a moderate on fossil fuels. There's nothing in the statement about the importance of fracking and the importance of American energy independence, the importance of this vital industry to Pennsylvania. There's nothing in the statement about how America has to make sure that we lead the world in exporting natural gas. No, all it is, look, you know she's full of it. I know she's full of it. She's saying what she has to say on the campaign trail. Just zip it and let's get through this. And the fact that K-File called her out on this, like he called her out on the border flop, like he called her out on the other stuff that she's been flip-flopping on. And so now the campaign has to respond by saying, oh, no. What we said earlier was BS. What a mess. What a freaking mess. I mean, this campaign is amateur hour is what it is. Honestly, it's amateur hour. It really is truly, truly amateur hour. This is why the Hill's election forecast is now 52-48% Trump. And they have Republicans win with a 71% majority of the Senate. Like the odds in favor of that with 71%. 54% chance Republicans retain control of the House. This is why potentially right now we're looking at the Republicans controlling maybe all three branches of government. And this is also worth mentioning as well. The Hill is reporting that swing state Democrats are now running away from her. We played you the clip the other day of the woman who's running for Senate in Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin, who basically said, I'm not on board, you know, trying to run, distance herself from Kamala Harris. Democrats running for the Senate in blue wall states that will be critical to determining the outcome of the 2024 election are running away from Vice President Harris, signaling that they are hoping to win over some of former President Trump's voters to keep their seats. Think of what Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, the lesser Casey, with his ad last week, which described him as an independent and touted how he bucked the Biden administration to protect fracking and sided with Trump to end NAFTA. And there's no party affiliation in Casey's ads. In Wisconsin, endangered incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin ignored President Biden and Harris and made only a passing reference to Trump in her one and only debate appearance on Friday. An aide noted that Baldwin is working with Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, and Senate Republican Senator Chuck Grassley on legislation. They're noting this in their campaign ads. In Michigan, Democrat Senate candidate Alyssa Slotkin, currently wrapping her third term representing the state in the House, has sounded like a Republican at times, talking about her home on a dirt road where no electric vehicle would dare go. She has flashed Trumpian rhetoric about how Japan and South Korea ate our lunch in the 1980s by being a step ahead of U.S. automakers in promoting fuel-efficient vehicles. She warned donors in a video call earlier this month that Harris was struggling against Trump in Michigan. And said, quote, I'm not feeling my best right now about where we are on Kamala in a place like Michigan right now. We have her underwater in our polling. And we played that clip for you on the show. It gets even worse. Some Democrat candidates in those states have been careful about criticizing Trump, even during their own debates. Instead, they've tried to focus on policy and their own records without embracing Kamala Harris or taking shots against Donald Trump. Isn't that something? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Dan is in Conshohocken. Dan, how are you today?
Upper Providence.
Hello, Dan. You there?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm Rich. Hey, listen, I wanted to say I think it's kind of ironic that we're worried about what Kamala Harris is going to be for and what she's going to be against. When she's going to be exactly like Joe Biden, just another Trojan horse who's going to be towing the party lines for whatever left-wing lunatic policies that whoever's calling the shots are stolen. I mean, it's a one big fugazi.
You got it, my brother. It is a fugazi, no doubt about it. She, when people show you who they are, listen, believe them, right?
10-4.
All right, Dan. Thanks, pal. Appreciate the call very much. Have a great day. 855-839-1210. He's spot on. All right, listen, we got a big show for you today, but winter is coming. If you've got water problems in your backyard, you got to do what I did and reach out to my buddy Lou Vargo. He's a great guy. That water in your backyard, it will freeze and thaw around your property and into your foundation. And that's when the worst damage will happen. I used to worry about water, but then Garden State Earthworks solved my problem for good. They are your drainage solution experts. We had our wet basement. It was caused by excess outside stagnant water. Garden State Earthworks came. They drained the water away, and we never had another problem again. That's what they'll do for you. Now, they're very busy this time of year. Because smart people know they got to get ready for winter now, even though it's hot out today for some strange reason, but it's going to be cold. And if you got water problems never get better on their own. So call Lou Vargo today at 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. He'll make you a priority, and he'll make sure the job is done right. So we've had two experiences with him. We first bought our house many, many years ago and finished the basement. Water started coming in. Lou drained it away. Never had another drop of water in that basement again. And then our new house now, backyard was a little swamp. My kids would go out there and play after rain. The water would sit there for days. And you don't want that to happen. That's a major problem. So, again, he came to the house, drained the water away. We never had a problem again. That's what he'll do for you. And the work is guaranteed. 856-848-4444. Or GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so busy day. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. Everything we are chatting about today. I'll get into the Nathan Wade stuff with you. There's a lot of polling data. I love analyzing the polling data. So we'll talk about a lot of things. But Carol is in Hatboro. Carol, what's going on in Bucks County?
Well, I placed a telephone call to see if I could get an absentee ballot. In their menu, they indicate that they're not accepting any verbal phone calls anymore. You have to do everything online to apply for it because they're overwhelmed with calls. That kind of disturbed me because I'm thinking about all the people that don't have access to computers, the elderly and whatever, and they may not get a chance to vote, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or Independent. So I wanted to let you know This is what I experienced today.
I appreciate you letting me know. I'm going to pass it along to my friend Linda Kearns at ProtectTheVote.com. And I would also encourage anyone who has any issues to do the same at ProtectTheVote.com. They take all this stuff very seriously. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, Carol.
Thank you
I
for
appreciate
taking my
it. Call. No, thank you for letting us know. Thank you. Larry is on 95, somewhere on 95. Larry, how's it going, buddy?
Yo, Rich. What's going on, brother? How
What's
are you?
Up? I'm good, man.
All good. I'm the guy that really loved your Josh Shapiro imitation speaking Southern. That was the best. But anyway, you know what I don't hear a lot of, but you know what? A lot of times, doesn't people understand? I believe that Obama's been running the country for the last 4 years. I mean, Biden, he's been a little brain dead. He's definitely not running the country. And they want to put Harris in. For the same reason, because they want a puppet up front. And I believe that, like, all the policies are the Obama policies that's going on. I mean, it's just a copy of the Obama years.
Yeah, listen, there are people who are in charge of they're the elites, the powerful, they're the corporations, the big pharma, the military industrial complex. Yeah, and they're who's in charge. There's no question about it. And they want a puppet, and Kamala Harris would be a happy puppet, no doubt. But, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to get their way again. They're going to try, though, Larry. No question about it, buddy.
Hopefully you're right. And I got news for you. Those French fries in Southampton are amazing.
Yeah, they're the crispiest French fries ever. Nobody's ever crisped fries like that before. Nobody.
Yeah, so instead of Chickie and Pete's fries, we're going to have Trump fries.
Well, you can have both. All right, we love chickens and Pete's fries, but
yes, we do.
All right, Larry, thank you, pal. Appreciate it. Drive safe on 95 wherever you are on 95. Which, yes, Josh Shapiro personally himself fixed with no one else's help. He just came down and said, "I hereby declare 95 to be fixed," and it magically came together with his hands. No construction workers involved. I don't know if you know that or not. That's a true fact. Look it up. No joke, folks. That's no joke. See, right there is an example of me being sarcastic. Obviously, construction workers were involved. But if you listen to Josh Shapiro, it was just his magical hands. He just willed it to be so. Unbelievable. All right. J.D. Vance is going to speak a little bit after 4. We're going to dip into that for you a little bit. It's hard to believe election day is in 2 weeks. It is really hard to believe. But look, this fracking thing, I can't emphasize this enough. I mean, Pennsylvania is going to be the state that decides this election. I really do believe this. And I think Trump is going to win Pennsylvania. This fracking thing is a disaster. Why would the campaign be this stupid? And I know the answer. The answer is because they have to. The base of the Democrat Party, they're like whiny, bratty little children. They really are. And look, if you're a Democrat, I'm not talking about you. You're probably a sensible person. And you may just happen to vote Democrat, and hopefully your eyes will be open. Like, I got an email. I'm gonna share an email for that I got today from a woman named Cindy, who sent me a note. She said, "Hi, Rich, listening to you about the left being upset about the pre-screen supporters at McDonald's. Today, my neighborhood was placed under siege by local and state police, including helicopters flying over my house for 2 hours because Harris was literally in my backyard at People's Light in Malvern. Her posse tied up traffic, became a noise nuisance, and generally stunk up our neighborhood. Very annoying for certain. Of course, nothing will be reported on all of the inconvenience she caused. So frustrating. Continue the good work, Rich. I'm voting for Trump. I didn't last time, but he won this Chester County woman over. Thanks, Cindy." Well, Cindy, thank you for taking the time out of your day to send that to me. I appreciate it. If you're listening to me, you're probably, and if you voted Democrat, you're probably a sensible person for the most part. We got some lunatics in the audience, obviously. You see them on the YouTube chat and on Twitter. And I get the hate mail. Okay, I got a good hate mail comment. And this one involves you, DeSantis. Yeah, it does. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, I think she referred to you as my little partner, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if she's implying we're in some sort of a relationship. Outside of work. I don't know. Let's see. This woman sent me a note. Let me read you the note. And I think she might have been talking about you. I'm not sure. She says, "You seem to outdo yourself with the nonsense you spew." That's talking about me. "Most importantly, your voice is worse than nails on a blackboard. Far worse. A little reminder, Trump lost the debate. In a huge way, darling." It was nice for her to call me darling. This is Jen sending me this. "She dominated, and we saw him lose his mind on national TV. So I wrote back, and I said, thanks for listening. She wrote back, "I listen on occasion to get a laugh. No longer amusing, but nauseating. You and your partner giggling in the background behave like sixth grade middle school boys." Pretty sure that's you, DeSantis.
Yeah, it's definitely me. I'll take that one.
Yeah. Jen, I actually agree with you. I can't stand DeSantis either. So on that point, you and I actually agree. See, we agree more than we disagree. But very nice of her to send me that nice note. I appreciate it.
I don't know why she had to take a shot at me, though. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, my little partner. Are you implying that we're in some sort of a relationship? Because we're not, okay? I'm married. He's got a fake girlfriend. For the record. All right. We got a lot more to get to and a big 4 o'clock hour. J.D. Vance will speak at some point as well. Keep the hate mail coming, and we'll be right back. We're streaming live on YouTube.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.